justice system, the people are represented by two separate yet equally important groups, the police who investigate crime and the district attorneys who prosecute the offenders. These are their stories.
A woman walks up to the steps of a house.
Sorry for this.
See.
She takes the large envelope from the delivery person and signs for it.
Okay. Appreciate it. Have a good day.
The delivery person leaves. The woman picks up a newspaper and goes inside. She sets down the paper and envelope, then reaches for the security system keypad. She stops and frowns. She hangs her purse near the door, then looks upward as if looking upstairs.
Hello?
She walks toward another doorway.
Mrs. Rosati?
She frowns as she looks toward another room. She steps through the doorway, then closes her eyes as she turns her head away. She rushes to the phone near a man lying on the floor with his head in a pool of blood. Later at the scene.
What'd you find upstairs?
Burglary. Took the cash, left the credit cards, the costume jewelry.
She found him about 10 o'clock. The ME says he was killed late Saturday or early Sunday.
The guy was a contractor, and I thought the recession hurt the construction business.
Yeah, Rosati was doing pretty well. Speaking of which, any sign of Mrs. Rosati? No, I don't think she's back from the disco yet.
Ain't no discos no more. So, hey, Rosati hears something go bump in the night. He comes downstairs. Boom. Our guy goes about his business. Pretty cool customer.
Yeah, might as well get what he came for. Now, she said the alarm was off, but the door was locked with the deadbolt.
Somebody had a key. Took one in the back of the head. Close range. Small caliber. No exit wound. No brass. Very tidy. Very professional.
Yeah, what do you bet there's no prints either?
Well, we better find Mrs. Rosati. Tell her husband's dead.
If she doesn't already know.
Man, you are such a cynic when it comes to love.
Not love, marriage.
The New York City skyline is lit up at night. Police officers work the city streets. The word law moves in front of a squad car, and a man is led away in handcuffs. Detective Lenny Briscoe is wearing his tie loosened around his open shirt collar. Detective Eddie Green's on the phone, then Lieutenant Anita Van Buren is shown. The word order appears in front of a courthouse, and a U.S. flag waves. Scenes from a courtroom are shown. Executive Assistant D.A. Jack McCoy is leaning on his desk. Assistant D.A. Serena Sutherland is also at a desk, and D.A. Arthur Branch has his arms folded across his chest. Law and order. The detectives and the assistant D.A.s walk down a hallway together. In an office.
I've been with Tony for 5 years. He's the best boss I ever had.
We're very sorry.
Oh, my God. Sherry doesn't even know yet.
Mrs. Rosati?
She's at a spa in Connecticut. She went up there Friday afternoon. I think she's due home tomorrow.
So you haven't talked to her yet?
Oh, my God. It's one of those you can't call the guests unless it's an emergency kind of places.
I think this qualifies as an emergency.
I'll give you the number. They'll have to put you through. I'll call David, Mr. Rosati's son.
From a previous marriage?
Tony and Sherry have only been married a few years.
Thank you. We're going to need to look at papers, date books, computers.
Sure, sure.
Marissa, since you seem to know Tony pretty well, can you think of anybody who might want to...
No. Oh, my God. Why would anyone want him dead?
A New York City contractor? Who wouldn't?
Well, he did get sued a lot.
Outside.
Vendors, employees, clients. This guy owes the butcher, the baker, and the candlestick maker.
That's right, Rosati.
Eddie's on his cell phone.
Sherry. Friday.
Be cheaper to pay his bills than his lawyers.
Okay, are you sure? Okay, thank you. She made a reservation at the spa, but she never showed up.
Well, until she does, maybe we should talk to some of Rosati's less than satisfied clientele.
Park Court Grill, 538 West Broadway.
Nice nose, good body, too much tannin. And like everything else around here, there's no finish. Sorry, I'm jammed. We're opening for lunch tomorrow, 3 months behind schedule.
Is that Tony Rosati's fault?
Well, he's like every other contractor in the city. He's way overextended. Finally had to take him to courts to get him to show up and do the damn work.
It says here you're suing him for $1.2 million.
Yeah. Bargaining position. Put the fear of God in him. Plus a little something for the aggravation. He still has the finish work to do. He does that, I'll drop the suit.
If I were you, I'd start shopping around for a new contractor.
What, he's gone out of business?
You can say that. Tony Rosati was murdered over the weekend.
Oh, man. I had no idea.
Where were you this weekend?
You think I'd kill him over a couple sconces?
Well, if they were expensive enough.
I was in the Hamptons, visiting friends. I'll give you their name and number. Hey, the last thing I'd want is Rosati dead. At least not until after the job was finished.
At the precinct.
I thought this was a burglary.
We're thinking the burglary was a cover.
It looks like a hit. 22 to the back of the head at close range, next to no forensics.
There's no shell casings, there's no blood other than the Vicks, there's no fingerprints, it shouldn't be there. This was a pro.
Well, when I had my kitchen redone, I would have cheerfully wrung my contractor's neck. I don't think I would have gone so far as to hire a hitman.
Almost all the litigation was penny ante, and all the litigants have alibis.
So what's your other theory?
Well, the wife's still MIA.
Always the nearest and dearest.
Now who's the cynic? We're thinking she may be another victim.
Right.
Well, she's the second wife, which means there's a first wife out there somewhere.
Van Buren waves and Lenny smiles. He waves back, then leaves. Apartment of Lacey Martini.
I knew Bambi would kill him eventually, although I thought it would be his heart exploding while they were doing the horizontal hula under the dining room table.
All right. We get the point. You don't seem that upset.
Why would I care? I haven't seen or thought about the man for 10 years.
By Bambi, I assume you're referring to his current wife, Sherry?
Sherry, Bambi, what's the difference?
You sound bitter.
You think I? Look, what happened between Tony and me is I dumped him.
Why, because he was running around?
Because I was running around. You're young, you want to get away from home. You meet a guy, doesn't make you want to gag, you let him put a ring on your finger.
Then that would be Tony?
And just when I was starting to think my life was over, I met a man 6 years younger than me, full head of hair, who actually knows which fork to use for the salad.
Outside.
Now there's a refreshing change.
What? A wife leaving her husband for a younger guy?
No, a wife who doesn't want her ex-husband dead.
Well, let's talk to the son. Maybe he knows something about the current Mrs. Rosati.
In an office.
My father was a bum from Brooklyn who got lucky for a couple of days. Good old dad, salt of the earth. And now, God bless him, he's actually going to be 6 feet under it.
Oh, let me guess, you shed all your tears this morning.
Do either of you guys speak French?
A little bit.
Good, then you'll understand when I say that my father was a schmuck.
So was mine, but I took a couple of days off when he kicked.
We haven't spoken for 3 years. I'm sorry, I'm not exactly the right guy to give the eulogy.
If you were my kid, I would have lost your number the day you learned to talk.
Lenny turns away.
Do you know anything about Tony Rosati?
Why don't you tell us?
Can you spell RICO?
Your father was being investigated by the feds?
The grand jury is convened as we speak. I'm trying to make partner in a Park Avenue law firm, and dear old dad's being indicted by the U.S. attorney.
Well, looks like you finally caught a break.
By the time the old man came through for me.
Office of U.S. Attorney Raymond Berman.
It's a broad-based investigation into the building trades.
Racketeering in the building trades? I'm shocked.
Tony Rosati was mobbed up.
He bought concrete, didn't he? His line of work. It's hard to avoid our friends with the broken noses.
Just how well connected was he?
He's a pimple on the ass of organized crime, hardly a flicker on the Richter scale.
His son seemed to think he was being indicted.
We're casting a wide net. You think his murder has something to do with our investigation?
Why not? If he started to talk.
Excuse me.
Anybody Tony could give us, we already got. The guys were really interested in, wouldn't have wasted the hardware.
Lenny, guess who just showed up?
Thanks.
Later.
I changed my mind about going to the spa at the last minute.
Where'd you go?
Bermuda.
We're gonna need details. Where you stayed, that sort of thing.
Am I a suspect?
Wives who killed their husbands? It's been known to happen.
Actually, Mrs. Rosati, we are trying to cross you off the list.
I appreciate that. I have my hotel bill, plane ticket.
That'll do.
Just a minute.
She goes to her purse.
Did you go to Bermuda alone?
Alone, yes. I needed to just get away for a few days, think about things.
She opens a drawer.
It's a plane ticket and hotel bill.
What's this?
It's a list of items stolen in the robbery. Jewelry, silver, irreplaceable heirlooms. I know you need a police report before you file an insurance claim.
Outside.
This lady makes an insurance claim before she takes care of the funeral arrangements.
You ever been to Bermuda?
I'm not a sand and sunblock kind of guy.
Well, it's close enough to go, check into a hotel, slip back into the city Saturday night, pop the old man, and get back to Bermuda by Sunday brunch.
Hey, Sherry's not Miss Congeniality, but she's not a pro either. Let's go find out who she was sipping pina coladas with.
Bermuda Air, JFK International.
Here we go. Mrs. Rosati traveled to Bermuda Friday the 9th, returning to New York today, Tuesday the 13th, in first class.
Did she come back to New York anytime between Friday and today?
Not with us. Let me check the other carriers.
You can do that?
Well, planes aren't allowed on the information highway.
She checks her computer.
Looks like Mrs. Rosati enjoyed four consecutive days in paradise.
That highway say who she sat next to?
Tells me his shoe size.
She checks her computer again.
Here we go. Mr. Porter. Randy Porter. Look at that. Both coming and going.
Long weekend, small plane. Could be a coincidence.
I don't think so. It's the same credit card number. She paid for his ticket.
Thank you very much. Well, May-December romance. You know what they say.
You're the matrimonial expert. You tell me.
Cher Shayla prenup.
In a cluttered office.
Prenup, prenup. Don't leave home without it.
I take it Tony Rosati had one.
Well, one out of two marriages goes down in flames. You'd be a horse's ass not to. He just wanted to make sure that she couldn't take him to the cleaners.
Tell us about it.
For the most part, a sliding scale of alimony, depending on the number of years they're married.
And what about the other part?
Well, since the first Mrs. Rosati screwed around on him, Tony insisted on a special clause. Genius, if you ask me. I call it the Rosati clause. Now I insist that all my clients include it in their prenups.
And that is?
She cheats, she gets squat.
Tony Rosati have a will, too?
Will. Don't leave home.
Yeah, we know.
Sherry gets it all.
Which makes for one merry widow.
Well, although a couple of weeks from now, it would have been a whole nother story.
Why, Tony was getting ready to divorce her?
He said, and I quote, that slut won't get a penny from me.
Which under the Rosati Clause means that he knew that she was having an affair?
Well, he must have. He hired a private investigator to follow her.
In a cafe.
Briscoe. I remember you. It was that thing with the thing and what's her name?
No, you must be thinking of somebody else.
Damn, I could have sworn that was you.
This is my partner, Ed Green.
Pleasure.
How you doing, man? So we hear that you work for Tony Rosati?
Yeah, he's a guy you wouldn't mind having a beer with. It's a shame. So, what can I do you for?
What do you know about Mrs. Rosati?
Oh, she whacked him, no question.
You sure of that?
20 years on the job and another 10 years doing matrimonial private peeping, you get a sense of who the bad actors are.
Says Sherry was less than faithful.
Oh, you know that old song. You call it jogging, but I call it running around.
I assume by that you don't mean she was staying in shape.
No, she was in great shape, all right. See for yourself.
Ooh. Lenny looks at photos.
This guy's name wouldn't be Porter, would it?
Randy Porter, as a matter of fact. And get this. Not only is he banging the guy's bride, he worked for the poor bastard, too.
They're risque.
Talk about double dipping.
Outside a construction site.
Been with Rosati Builders since 99. I'm an electrician.
You get to know the boss well?
Oh. He was the boss. I was a peon, you know?
Yeah, I hear you. My lieutenant wouldn't let me anywhere near her dinner table.
They say the class system is dead.
Hey, did the wife come around a lot?
Mrs. Rosati? At a job site? I don't think so. She's a tea at the Helmsley Palace type, you know?
Wouldn't want to break a heel.
Exactly.
Well, I don't know. She didn't look so genteel to me, especially this one on the sink.
Lenny shows him the compromising photos.
I know what this looks like.
So do we, Randy.
Look, did some work at his house, and me and Sherry, we kind of hit it off. It's all.
I'd say so.
Look, it wasn't a big deal, okay? Besides, I wasn't even in the country when Tony was killed.
You know, that is the first thing that you said that I actually believe.
Yeah, you and Sherry had to get your alibis straight, right?
Why would you do that?
Because Tony made Sherry sign a prenup. If she gets caught cheating, she walks away with just the clothes on her back.
You're saying we killed Tony before he had a chance to divorce her?
Hey, I saw body heat three times.
Well, not for nothing, but Sherry was planning on dumping him.
For who, you?
He looks at Lenny, then Ed.
I think I want to call a lawyer. Excuse me.
He walks away. Whitman House Restaurant, 289 Park Avenue South.
You know what they charge for a drink in this place?
Why do you think I quit?
They approach Sherry.
Thank you for meeting me here. The house gives me the willies since...
Well,
yeah, I could say the same about this place.
Can I get you something?
No, that's all right.
Oh, me, I'm still working off the one I finished 6 years ago.
They sit in her booth.
Randy called me. He said he talked to you?
Yeah, he told us about you two.
You ever been lonely? Tony was always working.
Well, that's usually how the bills get paid.
Maybe your bills. Sure, construction is up and down, but for Tony, it's been down and downer since the dot-com bubble burst.
You saying he was going broke?
His company was this close to Chapter 11.
She drinks a martini.
I hate to point it out, but that's a $12 drink you're sipping.
And it might be my last. Two mortgages on the house. Money from the second refi is just about gone. Why would I kill Tony? The prenup was moot. He didn't have a dime.
What about that fancy townhouse of yours?
The bank's about to foreclose on it. Look, Tony lived 1 month to the next. He had some friends who helped him out.
Friends with broken noses?
He grew up in Red Hook.
Any of these friends friendlier than the rest?
A man standing on a dock pointing toward the water.
See that spot right out there in the middle? That's where they fish my old man's old man out of the river.
Look, Mr. Vignarelli.
No, no, no. Vic, Bobby Vic. Everybody calls me Bobby Vic.
Oh, appropriate for a loan shark.
If the shoe fits, I'm not ashamed of you. I gotta feed my family. It's my profession.
Look, we need to talk to you about Tony Rosati.
Ah, Tom. What a shame. What are you gonna do?
You two go way back, do you?
As far back as the womb. His father and my father used to hijack trucks to get out of Idlewild.
Ties that bind.
Mrs. Rosati says that you might have lent Tony some money.
Yeah, I did. He was a friend in trouble. I mean, it's the right thing to do.
Well, how much trouble?
A month's payroll. It was no big deal.
You charging me the usual 100% interest compounded weekly?
It was a friend, 1 point over prime.
You and Alan Greenspan, huh?
If it was a stranger, it would have been a different story. It wouldn't have been so generous. Tony insisted on signing a note. Wanted to keep everything legit.
So now you got to chase the estate for your dough, right?
I don't have to chase anything. Sherry will take care of me.
With what?
Are you guys with the IRS?
Eddie grins.
Now, we never touch the stuff.
See, you don't know about Tony. He always had a few bucks stashed away under the table in case of a rainy day. But he put the account under Sherry's name, so the FBI couldn't touch it.
You wouldn't happen to know the name of the bank this rainy day account was in, would you?
Gramercy Savings, 212 West 56th Street.
Looks like cash deposits were made on a regular basis.
Let me guess, all under $10,000.
Who needs all that pesky federal paperwork?
What about withdrawals?
The woman checks her computer.
Hardly anything. $100 here, $200 there. Interesting. About 3 months ago, she wired $50,000 to another account. According to the routing number, it's an offshore bank. The Turks and Caicos.
Outside at a hot dog vendor.
She wires 50 G's out of the country without leaving the comforts of home.
You could do that by fax?
I need three kinds of ID just to transfer a few bucks from savings to checking.
And we don't know whose name is on that account?
But that's the beauty of offshore banking.
And you think she used the money to hire a hitman?
$50,000 will buy a lot of professional expertise.
But Mrs. Rosati knew her husband's business was on the skid. She knew she wasn't going to get anything. Why would she have him killed?
Hey, he had one rainy day fund that we know about. Maybe he had more. Ed's been over at his office checking his financial records.
Where the hell are the Turks and Caicos anyway?
Somewhere in the Sargasso Sea.
Which is?
I know it's out past Queens.
This guy was drowning in red ink, but he did have a safe deposit box.
Account number 2, under the radar.
I'll call for a warrant.
How much you want to bet most of these sparklers were on Sherry's list for the insurance company?
Well, if we can't get her for the murder, maybe we'll get her for fraud.
Deed for the townhouse, auto insurance, liability.
Life?
Yeah, whole life policy, issued 1994. Half a mil, beneficiary Sherry Rosati.
That sounds like a motive to me.
Whoa, here's a better one. Term policy, issued 6 months ago. Death benefit, $3 million.
I bet I can guess who the beneficiary is.
At the precinct with Serena.
Rosati told his insurance agent that Sherry had been nagging him to take on the new policy because his business was in trouble and she wanted to be protected in case something happened to him.
Why hasn't she filed a claim?
Waiting for the dust to settle, doesn't want to raise any flags.
Then you think she hired a hitman?
$50,000 wired to an unnamed offshore account? What do you think?
Between the war on drugs and the war on terrorism, bank secrecy isn't what it used to be. So if we can convince the authorities in the Turks and Caicos that this money financed a felony...
Later with Raymond Berman, U.S. Attorney.
Come on, Raymond. How often do I come to you?
Not often enough.
A call from a U.S. attorney of your stature and we could solve a murder for hire.
I love it when you flatter me. Let me see the account number.
She gives it to him.
The suspect transferred money to this account a few months before the murder.
He checks his computer.
First, let's see if we've done business with the account holder before.
He watches the monitor, then smiles.
Tell me you know who it is.
I'll do you one better. I'll introduce you to him. Up close and personal.
You are kidding.
Mr. James Astangura.
He wouldn't by any chance be a professional hitman, would he?
Recently retired. Buried 12 guys we know of, so far. Right now he's eating 3 squares a day, compliments of Uncle Sam.
How long have you been footing the bill?
Going on 2 months. You wouldn't know what to look at him, but Jamie's got a beautiful singing voice. Tenor, I think. We just can't get enough.
If he's been locked up in federal prison for 2 months, how did he kill my guy last week?
He shakes his head. Outside with Jack.
I wonder if Mr. Astangura's work comes with a money-back guarantee.
He promised somebody that Tony Rosati would end up dead, which he did. So it looks like Astangura fulfilled his end of the bargain.
From the federal penitentiary?
Who knows, maybe he farmed the job out.
Contractor to subcontractor.
It's a business like any other business.
And a lot more exciting than making widgets, I suppose. Talk to Mr. Astangura.
Yeah, and why would he tell us anything?
Brownie points with the U.S. District Attorney. He's naming names. What's one more?
Serena and Raymond are in the prison visitor's room.
Great thing about this line of work. People you don't know are always wiring your money.
It's nice to meet a man who enjoys his work.
Yeah, I'm blessed.
We'd like to talk to you about Tony Rosati.
I'd love to give you your quid, Missy, but I don't see no pro quo on the table.
I assume this goes in the credit column.
As long as your client keeps telling the truth, he keeps racking up the frequent flyer miles.
The attorney nods to Astangura.
I'll have to check my Palm Pilot, but yeah, Tony Rosati was on my to-do list. Unfortunately, Mr. Berman here and his friend screwed up my schedule.
Well, it seems one of your associates picked up your slack.
What'd she say?
Tony Rosati was murdered last week.
Son of a bitch lied to me. Said 50 was all he could pay.
And you know he lied how?
Well, obviously he got antsy and hired somebody else to do the job when I didn't show. You're not too quick, are you?
Raymond glances at Serena.
I thought she would have hired somebody else to finish.
I work alone. How do you think I lasted in the business for 15 years?
You said he. Were you talking about Randy Porter?
How should I know?
Don't you know who hires you?
Maybe you should tell Miss Sutherland how it works, Jamie.
You're the client. You go to somebody you trust and say, I got a problem. Your friend says, okay, buy a throwaway cell and give me the number. Then your friend calls somebody who calls somebody who calls somebody who calls me.
And you're the guy that can take care of my problem?
Right. Then I call you back on the throwaway cell. You give me the name and address of your problem. I give you the number of an offshore bank account. You wire me the money.
And then what happens?
You throw the cell down a storm drain and wait. Sooner or later, it gets done.
But you do talk to the client.
Just that once. But I don't know his name, and he definitely does not know mine.
Do you still have the cell phone number?
He looks at his attorney, who looks at Raymond. He nods to Astangura.
Got it all up here.
So this last person in the chain, the guy that calls you and gave you the client's cell phone number, I'm going to want to talk to him.
Well, maybe you better call that Jamaican mama on the infomercial, the psychic, or maybe John Edward.
What are you saying?
Alberto Dasso. He was shivved in Allenwood 2 weeks ago. He's dead.
Astangura raises his eyebrows. Later with Jack.
You believe him?
Well, he has no reason to lie, and he's admitted to everything else.
Mrs. Rosati and her boyfriend obviously got tired of waiting and went somewhere else.
How? By tiptoeing through the yellow pages under H? Mrs. Rosati went to Brerley in Mount Holyoke. How would she know how to find a hitman?
Porter worked in construction. He might have the contacts to get this done.
And that's enough for a warrant? He worked in construction?
These days, it is.
Apartment of Randy Porter, 129 West 182nd Street.
You like guns, huh?
So is our president.
I didn't vote for him.
Look, I don't know what you guys are expecting to find here.
Eddie finds a cell phone on top of an armoire.
Lenny.
Lenny takes it.
The whole point of a throwaway cell phone, Randy, is you're supposed to throw it away. No, that ain't mine. I don't know how I got there.
I don't think the maid left it up here.
Eddie looks at his notes as he dials his own cell phone and Lenny holds the other. Randy frowns as he watches.
Of all the cell phones and all the gin joints in the world.
What's this guy talking about?
Why don't you explain it to him, Lenny?
Randy Porter, you're under arrest.
What?
For the murder of Tony Rosati.
What?
You'll be right to remain silent.
Man,
anything you do say can and will be used against you in a court.
Later.
A $10 phone? That's why you're ruining my client's life?
Actually, we're interested in the call that your client received on that phone from Jamie Ashton Gura.
Never heard of him.
We know you didn't know his name.
Well, this makes sense.
Mr. Ashton Gura was the last link in a chain that started with your client and ended with the murder of Tony Rosati.
That certainly clears it all up.
Mr. Ashton Gura is a professional hitman.
What? Whoa. What are you saying? You think I paid to have Tony hit? What, are you out of his skull?
No, actually, I think Mrs. Rosati was the bankroll, and you made the arrangements from the phone we found in your apartment.
Look, like I told the cops, I don't know how that phone got there.
And I believe you just about as much as they do.
Randy covers his face with his hands.
I can't believe she's doing this to me. And I thought she loved me.
His attorney steps forward.
She's setting me up. Don't you see? It had to be her.
How would Mrs. Rosati even begin to know where to hire a hitman?
How would I? I don't know anybody like that.
Serena turns away.
Look, Miss Sutherland.
Her father.
She turns back.
What about him?
Her father's a cop. Cops know bad guys, right?
Van Buren's reading a file.
Detective Jerry Malik on the job in the 116, did his 20 and out. His last assignment was organized crime undercover.
I'd say that would have put him in contact with the right kind of people.
Well, he has an unblemished record. Why would he get involved with something like this now?
Either he loves his daughter, or $3 million in insurance money. One of the two, or both.
Serena leaves. Home of Jerry Malik.
I did my time on the shift. He's a small man, but he took the criminal's rights a little too seriously.
He's grilling.
I can think of a dozen guys still in the street because he said he'll arrest one unrighteous.
Mm-hmm. Hey, like Jamie Ashton Gura?
Ooh, is a name I haven't heard in years.
He sits near the grill.
Ashton Gura's a hit of a pro. May have something to do with Tony's murder?
Well, somebody hired him or tried to, but he couldn't have done it because he was in prison at the time of the murder.
Who hired him?
He doesn't know. He said it came through cutouts.
So you're telling me that somebody hired a hitter to take Tony out?
Yeah, you got any thoughts?
On Tony? He owed money, cut corners. He knew creeps. Take your pick. Could have been anybody.
So how did you feel about your son-in-law?
He's older than me by 6 months, but love's blind, right?
Sherry loved him?
Sure she did. Why?
He stares at Serena, then leans forward.
Wait a minute. What are you getting at? Why are you here?
I just want to know anything you can tell me about Jamie Ashton Gura.
You think Sherry hired him and I helped her.
Mr. Malik, we have her wire transfer. She paid him $50,000.
He shakes his head.
I'm sure there's another explanation. There's got to be.
Ashton Gura said that the money was for the murder of Tony Rosati. We'd like to know how your daughter knew a man like Ashton Gura if it wasn't through you.
He stands and glares at her.
Get out of my house.
He watches her leave. Later with Jack.
Malik definitely knew Jamie Ashton Gura. Maybe Sherry did too.
Take your daughter to work day. Even if we prove they hired him, Ashton Gura didn't kill Tony Rosati. Someone else pulled the trigger.
Do you think that we have enough to convict Sherry Rosati?
I think if we slap some bracelets on her, we'll hear a whole aria about who the second hitman was. Call Van Buren.
Sherry's playing tennis as Eddie and Lenny approach her.
It's a great shot.
Can't you see him in the middle of a match?
You play a little tennis, don't you, Lenny?
Well, I'm no Serena Williams, but I know one thing. It's all in the wrist.
He cuffs her.
Sherry Rosati, you're under arrest for the murder of Tony Rosati. You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be held against you in a court of law. You have the right to an attorney.
In arraignment court.
Docket number 65721, People versus Sherry Rosati and Randolph Porter. Charges of murder in the first degree
and conspiracy to commit murder in the first degree.
Let's have some pleas, Ms. Rosati.
Not guilty.
Mr. Porter.
Not guilty.
The people request the defendants be remanded without bail.
And why should today be different than any other?
Your Honor, this is a murder for hire.
Well, let's hope the people have something left over after the defendants have paid their tab. Bail is $250,000 each, cash or bond. Next.
Randy's led away. Later in Jack's office.
Look, say it as much as you want. I never wired anything to anyone.
We have your faxed instructions.
Well, Tony had access to that account, too.
Right. And when he wasn't putting up sheetrock, he was a master forger.
Sherry frowns as she sits down and looks at a document.
All I know is I never signed any bank instructions.
Of course, we'll get a handwriting expert.
Of course.
Jack and her attorney sit.
Let's look at the facts. Starting with where Mrs. Rosati would find Mr. Astroguno in the first place.
Astangura.
Whatever. Where would she hire a hitman?
By a strange coincidence, your client's father knows Mr. Astangura. We think he put her in contact with him.
My father?
It's okay, Sherry.
My father has nothing to do with this.
If your father didn't help you, who did?
She glances at her attorney, then lowers her eyes.
I had no idea Randy would do something like this.
He put you in contact with Astangura?
He asked me for money.
Maybe we should talk.
No, I want to tell him this. Randy was in trouble. He said he was in over his head in gambling debts. He said they were going to kill him if he didn't pay.
So you did wire the money?
No, but he knew about the account. He must have forged my name. I didn't know he would kill Tony.
This is the story you're sticking with.
She looks at Jack.
It's true.
In the conference room.
Somebody is lying.
I'll give you three guesses. Hint,
she's not in this room.
Why would I lie? Tony dying, what's in it for me?
$3 million.
What?
Mr. Rosati's life insurance.
Which I'm guessing was payable to Mrs. Rosati.
I didn't know anything about any life insurance.
I think we're done.
Fine.
Wait.
The attorney sets down his briefcase as he looks at Randy.
I never believed she'd actually go through with this.
Go through with what?
She was always saying, wouldn't it be great if Tony were gone? We could be together. We wouldn't have to sneak around.
Yeah, and $3 million in the bank account certainly wouldn't hurt.
I don't know anything about the insurance. Believe me. She's smart. Look how she set this up so that if it went bad, I take the fall.
He looks away. Later in Arthur's office.
Blaming each other is a step in the right direction.
He said, she said it could add up to reasonable doubt.
As it stands, we can't prove murder because we don't have any evidence as to who really killed Tony Rosati.
On the other hand, to prove conspiracy to commit murder, we have to show agreement. And with each of them putting it all off on the other.
The Rosati woman paid Astangura?
That's right.
And this Porter character received the call from Astangura?
The cell phone was in his apartment.
So even if we can't prove they conspired with each other, which we know they did, we can prove that they each conspired separately with our friend in the federal pen.
The old unindicted co-conspirator game.
Supreme Court, Trial Part 47. Astangura testifies.
Dasso called me. He gave me a cell phone number. I called that number. Whoever was on the other end told me he wanted Tony Rosati taken care of.
Excuse me, Mr. Astangura. By taken care of, you mean...
eliminated. Erased.
Killed.
Yeah, that's right. Killed.
And what did you tell this person?
I gave him my offshore bank account number. As soon as he wired me the 50 grand, we had a deal.
Is this the number you called?
Jack shows him a piece of paper.
It is.
Let the record show that the number matches People's 3. The cell phone found in Defendant Porter's apartment. And did he wire you the money?
He did.
And did you kill Mr. Rosati?
I was arrested before I could execute the contract. That's all.
Sherry's attorney stands.
Just to be perfectly clear, Mr. Aston Gora, are you sure you spoke to a man when you dialed that number?
Yeah, he was a guy, definitely. White guy, New York accent. More than that, I couldn't tell you.
Randy's attorney stands.
Do you know someone named Jerry Malik?
I used to know an undercover cop by that name.
He's retired now. Would you be surprised to learn that Mr. Malik is in fact Mrs. Rosati's, the defendant's, father?
I didn't know that, but I'll tell you what. You stay in this business long enough, nothing surprises you.
Did Mr. Malik know what line of work you were in? Did he know you were a murderer for hire?
Yeah, sure, he knew.
Can you say, beyond any reasonable doubt, that the voice you heard on the cell phone was not Jerry Malik's?
No, I couldn't say that, no.
That's all.
Sherry Rosati testifies.
The truth is, I really loved Tony.
But you cheated on him.
He was always working. When he wasn't working, he was worrying about work.
And having an affair was your way of getting his attention?
I guess. You love someone, you marry him. The years go by. After a while, you start to feel taken for granted. I mean, yes, I wanted Tony to notice me, but I didn't want to hurt him. I just wanted to feel...
Yes?
Alive. And appreciated.
And what about Randy Porter? Was he just a fling?
Randy was a mistake.
Did Randy love you?
I thought he did. He kept talking about marriage. He said, wouldn't it be wonderful if Tony was somehow out of the picture?
Sherry looks at Randy, and her attorney goes to the defense table.
Out of the picture.
Jack steps forward.
What do you think Mr. Porter meant by that?
Certainly didn't think he meant killing him, if that's what you're getting at.
Did you know your husband was about to divorce you?
Yes. He knew about me and Randy. We talked about it. I was hoping that we might get back together. We were trying to work things out.
And your idea of working things out was to go to Bermuda for the weekend with Mr. Porter? The same weekend your husband was murdered?
She looks toward Randy, then lowers her eyes. Randy testifies.
I was serious about Sherry. Clearly she wasn't serious about me.
Why do you say that?
Sherry's all about money. And I don't have any. Never have. Funny thing is, neither did Tony. He lived high on the hog, but it was all borrowed. Not exactly what Sherry bargained for when she said I do.
She told you this, did she?
That's all she ever talked about.
Sherry watches him.
Thank you.
His attorney turns away and Jack steps forward.
Did you ever hear of Jamie Aston Gora?
Not until he testified.
So his call to your cell phone, what was that? A wrong number?
It wasn't my cell phone. I'm sure you did tests for fingerprints. Did you find any of mine on there?
I'm asking the questions, Mr. Porter.
If he did, you'd know about it, he'd tell you.
That's enough, Mr. Porter.
Just saying.
If it isn't your cell phone, how did it get into your apartment?
I don't know. But I will tell you this. Sherry Rosati's had a key to my place for forever.
Later in Arthur's office.
Any chance this was their legal strategy from the get-go?
He gives Jack a drink.
Good liars make good actors.
What the hell? Time to look reality in the kisser.
Serena enters.
Offer each of them man one.
In exchange for...
The second hitman. The guy who killed Tony Rosati. Somebody's got to know.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves. I just got a response to those serial numbers, Jack.
Before the trial, I asked Serena to run the cell phone found in Porter's apartment by manufacturer.
It was purchased in Brooklyn at a bodega in Red Hook.
Bobby Vignorelli, Rosati's loan shark boyhood friend.
We'll need to look at his bank records.
Done.
Bobby Vignarelli enters Jack's office, then turns to Serena.
Hey, maybe you can get me a cup of coffee and a Danish. I ain't used to getting up this early in the morning.
We're not here to entertain you, Mr. Vignarelli.
And why the wake-up call?
Conspiracy to commit murder.
Murder? I don't know what you're talking about.
We subpoenaed your bank records. 10 weeks ago, you wrote a check to Tony Rosati for $50,000.
It's like I told the cops. Tony needed a loan to make payroll. That's all it is.
A short time later, someone wired $50,000 from Mrs. Rosati's account to James Aston Gura, a professional hitman.
And so Sherry had Tony killed. I read the newspapers just like anybody else. I mean, I didn't know she was going to steal the money and then use it to have him whacked.
1 month later, you withdrew another $50,000 from your accounts.
That's right. I had a cash flow situation that I had to straighten out.
I think it was a second payment to a second hitman.
You got this all wrong, honey. Tony was my dear, dear friend.
He owed you a lot of money. His business was on the ropes. He was never going to pay you back. I think you were in cahoots with Mrs. Rosati. You conspired to murder Tony, frame Randy Porter, and claim the insurance money. Give us the name of the second hitman and save yourself from a capital murder charge.
Jack goes to his phone.
Yes? Who?
He looks at Bobby.
Do you know an Austin Foster?
Yeah, that's Tony's lawyer. I told him to come here.
Send him in. Why is he here?
Because Tony told me if he ever got on my case about his business, I was to notify Foster.
Foster enters.
Hello, everybody.
He shuts the door, then gives a large, sealed envelope to Jack.
What's this? That is a dated and unopened parcel sent to me by Mr. Tony Rosati with instructions to open it only if and when Mr. Vignarelli so requests. You do the honors, Mr. McCoy?
Jack opens the envelope. He removes a VHS tape, then gives it to Serena. She crosses the room and puts it in the VCR. Using the remote control, Serena plays the tape.
Hey, Bobby. Austin. I know if you're watching this, the two of you are in a room with a couple of DAs and the whole thing's gone to hell. Whoever it is, hi. My name is Tony Rosati. I thought I'd planned this whole thing out pretty good. Sherry and that son of a bitch Porter in jail. Me at peace, maybe for the first time. So, Mr. DA, the hitman, the wired money, the phone in Porter's apartment. It was all me. Bobby loaned me the dough, but he didn't know what it was for. Sorry, Bobby, for jamming you up this way. So that's it. All's well, etc., etc.
Jack shakes his head.
You know what? Parting is not sweet sorrow. It's just plain sweet.
Bobby grins.
Well, I'll be damned. All right, Tom.
I don't believe he could have done this by himself. You loaned him the money to bankroll this.
Bobby shakes his head.
I could indict you as a co-conspirator.
For what? To commit assisted suicide?
Jack looks at Foster, then at Bobby.
Well, I guess I'll go buy myself that cup of coffee, huh?
Foster puts his hand on Bobby's back and they leave. Jack and Serena look at each other. Later at night.
We'll never know who the second hitman was who really killed Tony Rosati.
Foster's right. It was assisted suicide.
No, I guess it beats dousing yourself with rum and lighting up a cohiba.
Rosati's second will gives Bobby Vig the jewelry in his safe deposit box.
At least Sherry won't be getting any of that insurance money.
I'm sure she's already got a team of lawyers contesting the suicide clause.
Fighting an insurance company. Now that's suicide.
Arthur smiles, then leaves.